Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. We have got New Japan Jared, Ray, myself KP, Nick may be showing up soon, to go through the week that was in the pro wrestling world. Did you get to watch Impact, sir?
No, I did not this week.
Well, that'll make it quick.
Yes.
As we mow through this.
I have a lot to say about AEW, though.
Oh, that's a spoiler or a commercial.
Mostly positive. I'm not going to come out with any hot takes.
No hot takes. Okay.
Is it a spoiler when it's in the exact same episode? And it was in the description.
It's foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing. Oh, yes. Foreshadowing. Yes.
Artistic.
I thought I might have used that wrong. Thank you. Impact Wrestling begins with Kiera Hogan, Tasha Steelz versus the Sea Stars, who are sisters. Get it? See what they did there?
You see what they did?
Okay. Did they think of the pun before they even came up with the gimmick?
Yeah.
Or did they
come up? That's something where you're sitting down brainstorming and you're like, man, that's it.
Because nothing they had was like sea related. So it just kind of...
For it to be a pun, it has to be like, you have to have two components.
It should come out like mermaids.
Yeah.
Wrestled in duffel bags.
Yeah. Duffel bags.
like wheelbarrow race type.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah, now Matt Stryker is doing commentary on this episode, which is kind of neat. This is a competitive little battle. Of course, Hogan and Steelz are the favorites in the tag team tournament, so
with good reason.
They go over. Jordani Grace is backstage with Jazz.
I saw that.
Who's going to be your tag team partner. And she's wants to go out on top as she's in the process of retiring. She wants to win this tournament with Jordani Grace, and that would be great. I hope that's what happens. I don't think it is what will happen, but I hope it is. Ethan Page lets Josh know that Doc Gallows is out for a little while hurt, and Josh says they can't challenge currently. Ethan knows this is wrestling, and if you can't challenge, then you are probably going to get to challenge for the title if you wear a mask or something. So he's got a plan. He doesn't say any of that. I could see in his body language that's where he was going with this.
Absolutely.
I just threw that in there anyway. Johnny Swinger in a orange jumpsuit, handcuffs, shirt unbuttoned to the belly, chest shaved, bandana, and a neck brace for the sympathy vote in this wrestler's court segment. Madison Rayne is his attorney, and she believes that the investigating officer should not be the judge, as Tommy Dreamer has seated himself to be the judge.
Jury, and possibly executioner.
Right. And so to make things fair and square, they take the prosecuting attorney and make him the judge. Because why would he have an axe to grind since he's the prosecuting attorney?
Absolutely. That makes total sense.
Fair and square. Nobody's getting...
No kangaroo courts here.
No. Not at all. Then Dreamer points out that he had... that Swinger had motive, opportunity, and actually the murder weapon in his fanny pack. And Madison Rayne said whoever managed to pull this off was intelligent. And look at that man.
That's compelling.
He is eliminated due to the fact that he's a numbskull.
Yeah. So you're telling me he just had a gun?
In his fanny pack.
The actual murder weapon was in his fanny pack.
And he got acquitted.
Well, we don't know that yet. But
dude,
we'll
imagine the last sight you see is someone slowly pulling a gun out of their fanny pack,
blasting you, going, "Sorry, Daddy-O."
That's the Batman origin story, buddy. That's the Batman origin story they're missing. They should have dropped that Batman origin story in '86.
Yes, dude.
Swinger could have done it. He could have played the role of that. Okay. AC Romero is a fingerprint expert of sorts. He does admit that he's not exactly a fingerprint expert. When asked if Swinger's prints are on the gun, he says absolutely. He said also included on the guns was everybody else basically in the room, including Dreamer. So everybody had somehow or another put their prints on the gun by the time he got a hold to examining it. It's really hard. When they said Ron Simmons' fingerprints were on the gun, to which D'Lo replied, "Damn."
That's fair. Yeah, no.
Rohit Raju versus Suicide in a non-title match, and Rohit Raju is convinced this is TJP. He sort of kind of moves like TJP when they're wrestling until the point in which TJP comes out and is at the top of the rail.
You're like, wait.
Raju gets distracted, winds up losing in a sunset flip roll-up, and it turns out that it's Crazy Steve.
Nice.
And he doesn't win the title, but he has a non-title win over the champion.
Which means he'll probably get a title shot.
Absolutely. Sammy is hyping up the wild animal Shamrock backstage, and then another wild animal, a moose, approaches to let them know that he respects Ken, but that if Ken is forgotten, he whooped Ken last time they wrestled and saved his life, which he didn't mention that he saved Ken's life.
No, but I feel it's important.
It is important that a 260-pound man was falling to his death, and Moose caught that dude an inch before he hit the ground.
Put him down like a baby.
Yes.
That's still one of the most impressive things.
One of the great moments in wrestling history.
It's like, wow, Ken Shamrock was going to die.
Yeah, right.
Man was going to literally go head first to the ground from the ring, and Moose just swoosh, right to safety. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's a hero.
We bring it up every time, but it really is crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaliyah and Tennille are getting into some kind of thing where Edwards doesn't want to give up on their partnership, which I get it. She never gets to wrestle, so
yeah,
of course it makes sense.
I wouldn't want to give that up either.
Kimberly with Virtuoso, Deanna Purrazzo outside with, and Killer Kelly with Renee Michelle, who is of Drake. Last program we saw her in was with Drake Maverick, where he was unable to consummate his marriage for it seemed like eternity.
Yes, yes.
Are they really married?
I think they are. I'm pretty sure they. Wait. Maybe.
Definite maybe on that. Okay. So Killer Kelly has a good little match with Kimberly. It goes well until she winds up getting a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker put on her, followed by a Swanton Bomb. As we get the Virtuoso and them celebrating, Susie shows up, which is a little weird because we expected Sue Young, so they seem relieved until the smoke comes, and now Susie and Sue Young are standing side by side. Crazy, because they're the same person. Now Susie turned her back to the stage, so we couldn't see her face, but we know for a fact there's still two of the same person at the top of the walkway. Sue Young comes down, puts a whooping on both of them.
Nice.
Goes back up the runway, and Susie is completely baffled, as we are, as to how she's in two places at one time and what all this could imply in the multiverse just in general.
Division of self.
It could be a Flash thing.
Yes.
Flash, what is the name of that comic? Is it Multiverse? Is it Flashback? What is the name of that comic? It's the Flashpoint. It's the famous one, right? He brings all the world. Okay. Sorry, folks. It's a good comic, though.
Yes.
If you just read it. Good guy superheroes are way better when they're killing people.
Yes.
Always happen.
Absolutely.
Wonder Woman just chopping some poor
sods. Yeah, just. Yeah.
Whatever. Aquaman's old lady just whoosh, off with her head. Okay. Wrestling court. Swinger on the stand. Swinger says that he is a crossover star. He's the modern-day O.J. Simpson. To which Dreamer says, when's the last time you watched TV? He says, 92-ish. And James Mitchell lets us know how important virginal blood is to Bravo. And then, of course, Rosemary says she never loved Bravo.
Yeah.
She just needed the blood. And Bravo gets really mad as he is now out of bed and there. And he's very frustrated, but does say he knows that she didn't kill him because he knows what the killer smelled like. It turned out the killer was Larry D.
Really?
Who seems to have a scent. He smelled the killer before the killer shot him. Yeah.
A lot happened in that segment.
That's a fact.
I also like how you called it a murder weapon and Johnny Bravo's not dead.
That we know of.
You never know.
That we know
Flashpoint.
Of.
Flashpoint.
I mean,
Flashpoint,
there was
right?
There was footage of him breathing alive.
You never know. That could be a different Johnny.
Sue Young's walking around.
Yeah. Also, this is intimately involved with demons.
Correct.
And resurrection and all that. So
absolutely.
It's not that crazy for him to be literally dead.
It's never that crazy for somebody to be dead and alive.
Yes.
Right. Follow Bob.
I thought you were going to say it's never crazy
Daivari.
For someone to be dead. It's like that.
Yeah, I guess.
It's this is supposed to be an okay match, but it's not really a match. It's a setup for a DQ as EY and Doreen come down to let everybody know that we are the disease for a sick world, which is a wordplay off Marion Cobretti's "You're the disease, I'm the cure."
From Cobra.
The greatest movie ever made.
Yes. I don't even shop here.
I don't even shop here. Go ahead and blow it up. Rhino attacks. He gets subdued, and EY starts screaming that the world is mine, which is a callback to Scarface. We are hitting all the fantastic movies in this little thing here. Deanna, Kimberly roll up on James Mitchell, and they would like their Sue Young problem to get to turn back into a Susie problem, if that's possible. And Mitchell lets him know that he's there. He can help them. And he extends his hand, and they make a deal with the devil as they shake it. And we have gone down to the crossroads.
Yes.
Fell down on our knees.
Yes.
Robert Johnson classic.
Yes.
Do you know the detail of why Robert Johnson supposedly went to the crossroads to get his...
For what?
Robert Johnson was a... According to legend, not that great a guitar player. He leaves, goes away, comes back. And rather than people assuming that he practiced a whole bunch, he evidently went to the crossroads and made a deal with the devil to become the great. And then that turns into, I went down to the crossroads, fell down on my knees, which is great. And there's like a million people that have done that song, and it's always awesome.
It's like House of the Rising Sun, where it's like no matter what cover of it I hear, it's like, dude, the song rules.
Yeah, you can't do it bad. It's money. As a matter of fact, I may put one out on SoundCloud like later in the day. Just
drop it.
Right, without a guitar.
With no guitar. A cappella.
Yes, absolutely. Rich Swann versus Ken Shamrock with Callahan. This is way better than Callahan at this point in his career really deserves. Rich Swann's pretty good, so it winds up being fun. And I don't mind watching Shamrock wrestle, but he's not normally great. You know, and this isn't great, but it's pretty good. Rich gets a frog splash, and Ken turns it into an armbar. Rich gets his foot under the rope. Ken gets an ankle lock. Rich escapes that. He winds up in a sleeper. Then Rich turns that into some form of a pinning predicament. And, of course, he gets the win, so he keeps the belt, but the beatdown ensues. Eddie Edwards comes out and gets smoked with a baseball bat, split wide open. And eventually Scott D'Amore comes down, and that's how these episodes tend to end. Scott D'Amore coming down, running, and trying to separate people from one another. Credits roll. Nice, painless issue of Impact Wrestling. Now let's get to the thing that we've already heard. Foreshadowing. Jared has got a lot to say about AEW. Ready? We're ready. AEW starts out. Paige versus Silver. Good little match.
Great little match. I really enjoyed it.
I thought it went a little long. It felt more like a showcase for Silver than anything else, which was strange to me, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it was a good little match.
I get confused with Silver a little bit because they present him to you kind of like a clown. And then when he gets in the ring, he really kills it. And that's a little odd for what Dark Order is. But I'm willing to go with it and see where we wind up, right? I do know that I like watching him wrestle, and he's strong.
I almost feel like that's one of the strengths of Dark Order, is that they're not all, like, brooding Brody Lee types.
When Brody Lee isn't around, there's a lot more fun involved.
Yes, but that's kind of how they lure you in, right?
Right.
Like, oh, we're all just having a good time.
Yeah.
Watch out for Brody, though.
Right, because he's the leader, right. Okay, and of course, Paige goes over.
Yeah.
And he gets the buckshot lariat.
Yes.
And then after the match, though, Evil Uno comes up, which I haven't seen a lot of Evil Uno promos lately, so that was cool to hear him talking again because he's really good at it.
Yes.
And he says, you know, now that you've dumped that cult you were in, come on over here to the Dark Order, which I thought was not going to happen, but interesting enough. And I did like the fact that even if this goes nowhere, he did point out that the way the Elite were operating is similar to what we're doing, especially the way they were treating you, which gives him a reason to have an axe to grind as we go forward, right?
They're right.
Right. Kenny Omega's backstage, and he talks best bout machine stuff. What'd you think about this?
It was all right. There was a segment at the end where he says, like, my dad could beat up your dad, which I'm not certain what that was supposed to mean.
Hey, I didn't just hold this segment.
I wasn't, like, it was okay.
Correct. Darby Allin blows up Carr.
Pretty cool.
Yes, Darby, he gets it. Black and white, a little bit of color, explosion.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Works every time.
Pretty good.
Blow something up.
Yes.
Everybody likes that. Okay. Survive If I Let You, Team Taz. Powerhouse Hobbs comes out versus Lee Johnson. I thought this was a good little showcase for Powerhouse Hobbs.
Yes.
Do you like the name Powerhouse Hobbs?
Oh, man, JR kept calling him, like, Big Willie Hobbs or something, and I was like, man, anything but this.
Anything but Powerhouse or anything but Big Willie? No, anything but Big Both of them. It seems like that's a lot. I might go the Goldberg route.
Just Hobbs.
Just Hobbs.
I'm fine with just Hobbs.
It seems a little wordy. Powerhouse.
Powerhouse Hobbs. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And Powerhouse.
Yeah, they were really drilling it in. I don't know if they're going to be continuing to do that, but I think just Hobbs will suffice.
It would be, you know, make it, sometimes, what is it?
Brevity is the soul of wit. Brevity is the soul of pretty much everything when it comes to entertainment.
Right. Also, I know that they, like the Japanese, for example, their monsters are one-worders.
Yes.
It's Godzilla, it's Mothra, and it kind of works.
Just like bam, just like one word punchy. I mean, that's not even just, like, that actually just Japanese. Was, it's like across all cultures, Goldberg.
Right, and that was the reasoning for Goldberg, because Bill Goldberg sounds like a guy who does your money for you.
Yeah,
Goldberg is different. It has a different connotation to it.
Yes.
Taz on commentary here. He was good.
I think Taz has been kind of knocking it out of the park recently.
He kind of had a leaping world's strongest man slam finish. In a way, he did the world's strongest slam, but he kind of jumped into it.
Yeah,
it was kind of cool. Yeah, Taz talks right here. He said he's not happy. Make this title matter. What did you think about all this?
Like the whole work shoot angle where they were like cutting his mics off,
and then he kept talking about Tony. And then Cody comes out and says, okay, look, I'll run it up the flagpole. You happy? And Taz didn't like that at all. Taz goes to choke him out.
Well, no. What's important is that Cody mentioned that Taz's son was actually training with Cody. And then Taz decides to choke him out because that is kind of an under the belt punch.
Yeah, but then he turned around and Taz's son left with
Taz. Yeah.
What did you think about all this?
I thought the segment was good. I thought it maybe was a little much with including, like, Taz's son. That feels a little bit like nepotism. But, like, the segment in general where they, like, cut off his mic and he just goes and he's like, I'm going to go over to the commentary booth and grab it. And then Cody coming out. Because in and out of kayfabe, Cody does have that role. So that makes sense. And it was fine. And watching Cody get choked out was very funny.
Yeah, I thought Taz looked like he was about to pull something.
Yeah, he's not. He's, someone posed the question, like, man, is he going to come back for one more match? And I was like, no.
Dude.
If that dude can't roll out the ring, if that dude cannot take a bump.
His
neck will explode.
Look, I'm round myself currently in my role in life. I'm a little bit round. But he can't, like, he couldn't put his arms around Cody well, because his belly was in between him and Cody. It was so strange to watch that, because Taz, dude, in his day, his build wasn't that different in his day, but that dude was a freaking beast.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was, and it's so weird because I have this love-hate relationship, because this thing right here, I didn't dig it that much. It rubbed me the wrong way. He almost felt like a Karen in a way.
He was asking for the manager.
Right, absolutely. That
was the text of the... Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I don't want to feel like I was hitting it too. But it's just... Taz was one of my favorite things in ECW. And when he got on the commentary in WWE, he was fantastic at it. And when he was doing commentary on Dark, I was like, this is great. And still, he gives me, if he's talking, let's say he gives us, over 3 weeks, he gives us an hour's worth of talking. 48 minutes of that I love.
Yes.
But 12 of it will rub me the wrong way. And because I'm such a fan of his, it hits me harder than it does with some other guys. Because another person that's less talented, I go, well, I don't care.
Oh, well.
It's like when JR does something, it sticks out like a sore thumb. Because JR is literally the voice of every great moment for 20 years of my life. Wrestling moment. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Axel's the other ones. Anyway, moving right along. Eddie Kingston, pick, pop, pock, pock, ping, pong. What? He said all that, didn't he?
Eddie Kingston did come out and he said pock, pock, ping, pong.
Yes.
he was very alliteration heavy.
Yes, yes.
He was flippy stuff. He was going to face pock in ping pong combat.
I don't think you realized how like weird that sounded because he went.
Pop, pop, ping, pong.
There were pauses between all of them. And it was like, it was spacious.
But he said all of that. Okay, so then Mox strolls up and Kingston says he didn't do it.
I love that segment. That part of the segment was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They have a thing.
Dude, when they got too close, Mox didn't even have to say nothing. Uh-uh. That's how good that segment. He walked up, you know what he's thinking, and he's like, no, I got my own problems, which is true.
Right. They have a thing that will probably follow them as long as they're together in this company, where whenever they're around each other, there's going to be something in the air that's special.
Some tension.
Yeah, always. And always. I love it. Now, Top Flight versus TH2. Hybrid Theory, son.
These are your boys.
Woo!
I love seeing them.
Great match.
Great match.
They go over.
Yes.
What are we doing? Are you kidding me? Huh? 2 years I've been waiting on this. Is that the first match they've ever won on Dynamite?
No way.
You can't say that for sure, though.
I can't say that for sure.
You can't say it for sure.
You can.
Was it 52 weeks? You can't say it for sure. Huh?
I'll have to look it up.
It could possibly be their first win on Dynamite. But if it's not, it doesn't matter because they did win and they are on a roll and they're going to get to fight for a championship.
There's no way it's over.
My guys, main event, Hybrid Theory.
There's no way it's over 10.
Oh, definitely. Dude, there's, if they won before, it's no way it's over 3.
Yeah. No way it's over 5, dude. It's
the number's low.
Jack Evans is just fantastic, and then Elko reminds me of... He reminds me of your boy Jack Sabre Jr. a little bit.
Yes.
He reminds me of...
Yeah, the bit he's like lanky and long, and he just stretches himself into weird ways. Dude, yeah, it's awesome.
And he's also a luchador in some ways. He is just a wonderful wrestler, and to see these guys get... It's like dreams coming true, man.
Yes.
Dreams coming true. And what's cool, dream coming true, in the middle of the show. I don't got to wait to the end.
Exactly. Oh, that's what AEW does.
Dude, and it gets better because Vicky Guerrero comes up next and is talking about nepotism, which is awesome.
Which is great.
Yes, yes,
dang,
of
that's
course.
That's crazy, man.
This business model is set to fail. Brandy, if you need help, call me. Vicky. Oh, this is great, great. Then we get FTR, and they're talking about something. Whatever. And then we get Christopher Daniels and Kaz versus Jericho and Hagar.
It was all right.
And I think there was literally 200 years worth of wrestling experience in the ring at one time here. Amazing. Considering there's only 4 people.
Dude, you joke, but literally how many years of experience? It's like 60 between like CD and Jericho. Kaz has been around for a while.
He's probably 25.
Hager's only
probably 15 or 16. Yeah. So yeah,
it's over 100.
70 years. Yeah, so 100 years. But dude, they wrestled well.
Yeah, the match went perfectly fine. I was
Kaz
almost
had
scared.
A sweet hot tag.
Dude, Kaz is so good.
He is.
Kaz is crazy how just good he is right now in this moment.
Yep. Of course, you wind up with the Hagar.
MJF like punches
correct
CD in like correct. In the face, or for CD or Kaz, it was CD.
Right, and then they jump him after the thing's over and beat him down even more, and then Kaz punches MJF Inner Circle starts to beat him up. Scorpio Sky comes down, clears the ring with a chair. What did you think about all of this?
I thought it was all right. I thought the match itself was good. I like watching it. I like watching especially Kaz the most out of all those guys operate. Mm-hmm. Again, so good. I almost had like a worry in my head where I was worried that it would be not very good. But again, went perfectly fine. Those guys mm-hmm. wrestled good.
Now, do we get Scorpio versus MJF?
I hope so.
Because if that's the way this spins out, I like it.
Yeah, but I don't see Scorpio winning that one.
No, no. MJF ain't losing anytime soon.
No, and that's the thing that kind of kills me with like...
Well, he won't win clean, though.
Scorpio keeps... Like, he beat Sean Spears, but like Scorpio keeps getting in these things, and it's not making him look really strong. Like, right. Him beating Spears was a pretty good match. He went over. That's fine. But like, nothing about the programs he's been in has made me think, wow, heck, yes, this guy.
Right, I get it.
And I feel like if you put him up against MJF, even if he loses dirty, he just looks like a dweeb.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Miro and Kip in a new segment. What about this? What do you think?
This is where my criticism
go comes ahead.
Through, because what on earth is happening with Miro and Kip where they're getting this much TV time for the most mediocre and boring segments? It's... Kip is such a talented guy, and I think Miro is a pretty talented guy too. Gamer is not a gimmick. The fact that you play video games is not a gimmick. It might be who you are as a person, but it does not make you interesting at all. There's nothing compelling about it. Wow, you play video games. They're like me. Nobody else in this company is like me, though. They're much cooler.
Well, the thing is, too, though, I mean...
Also, a lot of other people in this company play video games.
Like Kenny. Like, Kenny plays video games. He comes out, video game clothing. He references them. But he's also, like, completely his own thing.
Right. I get it.
The Miro just doing this weird gamer gimmick where he's like, oh, I'm a big angry guy, has been boring. Yeah. He's been in the company for how long? And they just have him in a nothing feud.
Yeah.
And Kip Sabian, again, I really think Kip's talented, but man, every time they give Kip like a segment of his own, it's not good.
You know what you could do to make this better?
What?
Have him wrestle.
I would love to see Kip Sabian and Miro wrestle.
They could wrestle. Imagine, put them in a ring with any of these guys that are in this division.
Private Party.
Erase the baloney, and then have Penelope doing conradas on people every now and then, and let them go up the card.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
I don't want to see them playing Xbox.
No, I get it.
I don't want to see Kip making lame jokes for like a 10-minute segment on Dynamite. That was awful. That was probably my least favorite segment of Dynamite ever.
Yeah, I get it.
He doesn't die, he respawns.
And now we're talking about criticism, because I do want to get to like one of my other least favorite things from last week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was the week before, but the Las Vegas segment with the Inner Circle looked incredibly expensive and not very good.
Right.
It looked like it was really expensive to shoot, and it was filled with a bunch of not particularly funny jokes or just rehashes from The Hangover.
Mm-hmm.
And between these two things, I'm like, man, maybe they should really be like cutting and trimming some people's ideas.
Right.
There is a point where it's like, man, you're giving Jericho like a budget and TV time, and sometimes he really just does not knock it out of the park.
Right.
On the rare occasion. Mm-hmm. Again, most of the time Jericho's pretty money,
mm-hmm.
but like the Kip thing and the Las Vegas thing are just completely extraneous.
Right.
They don't feel warranted. They don't feel like they deserve as much TV time as they're getting. Right. It's just not good.
Right. And you the thing about right now with AEW television is they don't have, they're talking, we're going to have one more show, maybe two more shows on TV. Okay, great. When you have 6 hours, great time to do this Las Vegas segment. You only got two. Don't waste 10 minutes.
I would much rather watch wrestling.
Yeah.
I would much rather have a women's match.
Yeah. Right, I hear you. Okay, so then we move into Kenny Omega with his extensive intro, and he's doing a contract signing, and Mox interrupts and gives him the beatdown.
Oh, I love the visual, I think, is really important with, like... You know how they tear this sheet of paper away from Kenny in his entrance? Mox standing right behind him as the mm-hmm. shadow was awesome.
Right, right. Mox jumps him. It was, you're exactly right. The silhouette was better than the fight.
It was.
Right.
Because it was intimidating. It was cool. It was like a unique use of Kenny's obnoxious entrance.
Right. Right. And then you had Mox beat him all the way down to in front of the table, and then Mox signs the piece of paper and thanks Tony.
Gives him a handshake.
Mm-hmm.
Respect for Tony Schiavone.
Nice, cool, calm, collected. Appreciate it, buddy.
Drops Kenny on his head. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought this segment was great. I really do think everything Mox has been doing lately has been money.
I agree. Jericho will face Kaz next week, and that'll be great. Then we get Sheeta versus 99 Anna Jay.
I have positive things.
What do you want to say about this?
The match was of a good length.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was not too long. I thought it was a good showcase for both talents. I think Sheeta did a pretty good job. I think Anna Jay, considering this was her 15th match ever, quite good already.
Mm-hmm.
I like this match.
Yeah, I did too. I was
A lot of the problems I had with Sheeta were just not really present. Like, she looked like she was putting more of her weight behind
everything
things.
Worked.
There wasn't like long pauses where nothing was happening.
It was fluid. It was nice.
It was a good match.
It was fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a good place to start from. I'm very happy with this match.
I almost think that the length of the match may be an issue.
Think about this. It's less to remember.
That, and you're not having to like conserve energy. Like, you can have a 10-minute match where you just explode.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what she needs.
I don't know.
Maybe
but it
that
was,
would just be a better pace for her.
But it worked. And then Abaddon comes out, spitting blood, licking belts.
Abaddon.
You liked it?
Yes.
Abaddon, I'm sorry.
Yes, it's a demon name.
Yes. Matt Hardy. Big Money Matt may be making an appearance. We're not sure.
I did want to quickly say that I do like that the women's division has been taking the right steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's programs. There's tension between the different wrestlers. Like, I like that. I like that. I think it's a good step.
Right.
I want to recognize it.
They're starting to tell stories.
Yes.
Right. Right. Exactly.
It's steps in the right direction. I'm not going to give them a whole lot of praise, but it is a noticeable step in the right direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to start somewhere, and it's starting to pick up a little.
Yes.
Cody has overstepped, and Ricky Starks is going to tear him a new one. I love Ricky Starks.
I love Ricky Starks.
Give him a mic. Let him go. See what he's got.
That dude really is money.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good.
Absolutely.
I thought that in NWA, where he would come out and he'd just be on the mic and just knock it out of the park.
I agree. Now, Pac and Phoenix versus Butcher Blade Bunny in what I thought was a great main event.
Yes. I love this
Eddie
match.
On commentary, I thought he was absolutely fantastic. He reveals that he learned the suplex out of the ring, I think, move as a tribute to Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert. He showed that to... Dude. Bringing up Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert. Oh, that's awesome. Said he was his favorite wrestler when he was a kid, which is awesome. Okay, it was good. These guys are fast. They're great. The Blade and the Butcher give a good counter to what the Luchadors do.
Yes.
The distractions wind up costing Pac and Phoenix. Pac not being a Luchador, but you know what I meant.
He's a high flyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But then they wind up winning here as Eddie Kingston pushes Phoenix's leg on the turnbuckle, and then, of course, you get the post-match beatdown, and then, oddly enough, Archer comes down for the save.
I mean, he has a bone to pick with Eddie Kingston.
He does.
So, I mean, it makes sense.
He does, and
now they're forming Death Rectangle.
Right. Death Rectangle. I like it. I like it. Okay, did you anything
Death
going
Square.
On in New Japan
Death
you want to talk
Square.
About?
I mean, there's been some good tag matches. Dangerous Techers, who is currently it's Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr., currently the tag champs. You can pretty much watch any match by them. Their match against Tanahashi and Toa Hanare was really good. And you can pretty much go down the list of all the juniors' matches, and if you see anything like Taiji Ishimori versus Hiromu Takahashi. That match was crazy. Crazy. I don't know how Hiromu keeps taking bumps like that.
Right.
Absolutely wild. You love to see it, though.
Yeah.
It's because it's a great match. Yeah, just go, pretty much go down the list. If you see anything that you think, dang, that might be pretty good, He was.
Okay. All right. All right. So, four. You had a good week of wrestling.
Yes, good week
of wrestling. I thought AEW was great.
I thought AEW, on the whole, even though I have, like, some problems, it wasn't really specifically with this episode, but I thought their recent episodes have been great.
Yeah, they're
just great. Like, easy 2 hours of TV. I sit through. I have a great time.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. For my man, Ray, just took up the earphones all the way. For Nick, who walked in and actually walked out. Yeah. For New Japan Jared and for myself, KP, this has been a Go Home Heat production, copyright 2020. Go home.
Okay. When I see the word.